The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Worth It or Worthless, a show where every couple weeks we pull a game from my own personal collection of retro games, take off our nostalgia tinted glasses, and decide, is the game good by today's standards and is it worth the price of admission? We talk about what the game does well, what the game doesn't do so well, and the things that are just plain weird. I'm your host Dan, joined as always by my friend Jordan. Jordan, what did we get into today?
Today we played Superman, the New Superman Adventures for the Nintendo 64. Superman, the New Superman Adventures is the story of DC Comics, Warner Brothers, and an obscure French developer teaming up to create one of the worst games of all time, featuring the world's most boring superhero, and somehow managing to still sell 500,000 copies.
What do you... Okay, listen. Some obscure French developer?
Yeah, like they didn't make... What do you know you've heard of this people before?
They made Quest for Camelot on the Game Boy Color.
Never heard of it.
They made Virtual Chess 64.
Oh, now you're really selling me. Virtual Chess 64, one of everybody's... I think that's in most people's top five N64 games.
Probably. Yeah, I was looking at their resume because I was like, who is this developer?
What are they called?
Titus Interactive.
Titus, yeah.
Jumping the gun on the fun facts.
Couldn't even remember.
Developed and published by Titus Interactive. It looks like they did a bunch of like Game Boy Color like licensed ports and stuff like that. They had something to do with the Xena Warrior Princess game, I think, for Game Boy Color or N64. I think they might have published the N64 version. They made the Hercules game. You remember on WB, those the wonderful Hercules and Xena Warrior Princess shows?
I remember the TV shows.
Were you a fan?
I can't say that I tuned in every day or anything, but like if it was on, I watched it.
Yeah, you were.
And then every now and then you'd be like, wait a minute, did Hercules just show up in Xena? Did Xena just show up in Hercules? So, yeah. I mean, what kid doesn't like seeing people run around and
do what they did?
I don't even know. I just remember they fought a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there was always lots of green hills.
It was like the Marvel universe before... The Marvel Universe.
Honestly, there was something very appealing to me about like connected universes.
Yeah.
Like I remember being a kid and watching the original X-Men movies.
Yeah.
And being like, I want more. Like I want there to be more. And then the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck came out and I was like, are these connected? And they weren't. And I was just like, man, I just really want like all this stuff to be connected. And so there is something really appealing about seeing Xena and Hercules. Was it Hercules? Did I just...
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I just made that up all of a sudden. I just totally forgot. So, yeah, I think that's appealing. So, Titus also made... They had to have some relationship with Warner Brothers.
I don't know. Yeah, well, they sure did.
Yeah.
We got this game.
Yeah. So...
So, this game came out in 1999. It came out in May 31st in North America, and then July 23rd in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't know if it came out anywhere else, just North America and Europe.
Now, were you going to comment on the fact that I called Superman the most boring superhero of all time? Or are we just going to let that fly?
I must not have registered because I think I agree with that.
Okay.
I'm not a Superman fan.
Some people get really upset when I say that, but it's one
Here's
of my
the
most...
thing.
Yeah.
Superman is one of the most boring superheroes.
Thank you.
Like,
yeah.
What is, when you have all the powers, it's like, what is the point? He's weak to kryptonite. Like, okay, fine. He's got one weakness, but like, come on. Like, I don't know. He's just, I feel like Superman, no offense to Superman fans out there. If you like him, like, that's fine. I'm just not, it's like, I'm a big Batman fan, but Batman has like, I'm not even going to go there.
He has zero powers.
He has zero powers, but I think his gallery of villains is one of the most interesting galleries of villains.
See, I don't care about that.
See, Batman and Spider-Man, I think, have the most interesting villains in comics, at least in my experience.
This is my problem with Superman. He has every power.
Yeah.
And, like, literally
every
power.
Well, not in this video game, but...
Not in this video game, but anyways, just, like, in the comics. He has every power.
like he's invincible and yeah. super strong and has every vision and breath that you can think of.
Well, not in this video game, but
no, I get again, what you're... yeah. I literally so many powers that the writers can't even remember all of them. At one point, he was able to rearrange. He had such control over the muscles in his face that he could rearrange the muscles in his face to change the look of his face and have like facial camouflage. That was one of his powers.
What?
In the comics. He could kiss somebody and make them have amnesia. His kisses could make like erase people's minds.
Okay, I mean, I could see that.
Yeah, at one point in the comics. Superman lost most of his powers, but he could shoot a smaller Superman out of his hand who had all of the powers still.
Did you like find this stuff online or this is just no, stuff this that is you're just, pulling out of my
this
brain?
This is a argument that I have frequently with my friends who are DC Comics people, and I'm just like, Superman is like the, I mean, maybe not so much anymore, maybe now it's Batman, but for the longest time, for most of the last century, Superman was like the premier DC superhero. And he's so ridiculous. Like, there's nothing appealing about him to me.
I mean.
So, and then you get this game.
which
doesn't do anything to really salvage the Superman persona for me.
This game, you're just rolling into the fun. This is the first 3D Superman game.
Yeah. We should explain really quick why we're playing this game.
We should. It's Hate-Prul.
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 Yeah. So here we go. This is jumping the gun a tiny bit, but this is our fun fact of the episode. No, it's not our fun fact of the episode. I'm not going to jump the gun.
Just a fun fact.
This is just a fact that we let Patreon people pick the theme for the month, and they picked Hate-Prul.
Yep.
Like games you hate. And
some
it's
of the
April.
Worst. Yep. Worst, most loathed games.
Yeah.
Of all time. So
Superman 64. It fits the bill. It's generally reviled as one of the worst games of all time, and we're gonna really dig in today and see, is that warranted? Is it really
bad? Yeah. Now oftentimes games get a bad rap, or they, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes we just don't necessarily agree with the consensus that a lot of gamers have. We were like, let's see for ourselves. Battletoads, I see what you really are, Battletoads.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, we were joking on Discord while we were playing, and somebody's like, well, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, right? It can't
be
that bad.
Yeah, it can't be that bad. And so I was like, I've never played this game, I don't think. If I have, it's repressed in my brain because I don't think I played it a single time as a kid. Like, it can't be that bad, right?
So this is my personal history with this game. Unfortunately, I do have some experience with this game. You remember, like, Blockbuster? Remember that place?
No, jog my memory. What was
okay,
that?
Okay, there was this video store. It was called Blockbuster. And you'd go in there, and they also had video games. Now, this is the thing about Blockbuster. You know, like today, a new movie comes out, and we can all log on to Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever, and we can all watch it at the same time.
Yeah.
But back in the day, when you would go to Blockbuster or Family Video or Mammoth Video, which is where my family always went, you'd walk in, and they'd only have a limited number of each game or movie. And if it was a really popular one and it just came out, you might walk in and just be confronted with an empty shelf.
Yes.
And then you got to pick something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked in to Blockbuster, probably not Blockbuster because, come on, let's get real. That was too expensive. We are more of a Mammoth Video family. Walked in and there was a shelf full of Superman 64.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow, this must be the popular new game.
Yeah.
And I don't remember hardly ever renting a game with my family, so like this must have been a pretty big deal. The only other game that I remember renting when I was a kid was Pokemon Snap, which was a huge deal.
Yeah.
I couldn't even contain myself at school because I knew my mom was renting Pokemon Snap for me, and it was going to be like the best night ever, which didn't necessarily turn out to be true, but...
You beat the game in one night.
Probably. This is the only other game I remember renting, like, in my entire
How
childhood.
How is that even possible?
Because we were always behind.
Yeah.
Like, this was the only system that, like, we actually had that was out when games were really still coming out for.
All right.
So we rented Superman 64, and I remember just having a bad time. I remember having a bad time. So I do have a little bit of experience with this game, but I wanted to see, you know, maybe 10-year-old Jordan had a bad time. But
just a dumb kid.
Yeah, like 33-year-old Jordan's probably going to have a great time because we've gone back and played a lot of these games that I sucked at when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I appreciate them more. I'm better at them now. So
at least three levels in Contra.
Yeah,
surprise,
right?
There's surprise. More than three levels.
So maybe this will be a similar experience, and I guess we'll have to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
You got any more fun facts, Dan?
I do have.
There's a lot of fun facts about this game.
The facts are quite a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Jordan, the full title is actually Superman, The New Superman Adventures. It's not Superman 64.
Yeah.
But this game, to everybody, is Superman 64.
I literally did not know that there was a different name for it until today.
Well, and you didn't know until you looked on the internet, because when you fire up the game, it says Superman.
Yeah, and when you look at the box, it says nothing, because there isn't even a title on the American version of the game. And on the PAL version, it just says Superman.
So we tacked 64 on. I think I read on Wikipedia that it said that a journalist, like, it was some preview coverage, dubbed it Superman 64. And it just,
which makes sense, because, like, every game was whatever 64.
Yeah. Yeah. Wikipedia says development of Superman began in 1997 and was largely hampered by constraints between Titus and the game's licensors, Warner Brothers and DC Comics, leaving little room for polishing the gameplay.
Yeah, I read an interview. I read an interview with the head developer, and it was really interesting. So he reached out to Warner Brothers and was like, hey, we want to license Superman. We see that you guys just made a Superman TV show, the cartoon, and like we want in on it. They're like, okay, cool. Are you sure? And they're like, yeah, we want it. And then shortly after they got the license, the whole licensing team at Warner Brothers like flipped over. They got a new team.
You jumped the gun on my fun fact.
You got more?
I got.
Well, here you go.
So I took several quotes about the development of this game from Wikipedia. This is... Brace yourself.
I'm ready.
Bear with me. We can break this. We can take this in small chunks. Wikipedia said, quote, the Nintendo 64's game development lasted 2 years. Kane, who's one of the founders of the developer, Titus, Kane's initial plan for the style of gameplay.
I think it's Khan.
Khan?
From the video I watched, it was Khan, I think. But who knows? Maybe that person was just
making
it up,
too. Maybe you're right. I'm just reading Wikipedia. His initial plan was for a style of gameplay only Tomb Raider had tried before. A 3D open-world action-adventure video game involving real-time strategy where players really behave as a superhero. As he explained, it would stretch the Nintendo 64 to its limits, feature Superman's ability to fly and fight, and include his every superpower.
Every one of them? That seems ambitious. There's hundreds of them.
However, it would be too much for the Nintendo 64's limitation. As a result, less than 10% of the original design was implemented in the final product.
Oh, my goodness. At a certain point, you have to reevaluate and say, like, we can only do 10%. Like, we need to drastically change what we want to do.
At a certain point?
Do you want
to talk about what that point
was
slowly but surely?
I don't know if you have this, but, so the new people who came in, the new licensing people, they didn't think that this small French company was like up to snuff. And so they tried to like get in their way, and they really wanted to do a deal with EA. Apparently. Did you read about this?
I have it. That's next.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
It says only a few days after the deal was made, the Warner Brothers licensing team changed,
which is just really unfortunate.
Based on Khan's testimony, the new group instantly hated Titus and the project and tried to stop its development.
Yeah.
The first demand was to make Superman a SimCity-like game where Superman would be like the mayor of Metropolis instead of an action game.
Which is kind of hilarious. Like, on the N64, we're going to make a SimCity-like game where Superman is the mayor and Metropolis? I don't really understand how that could work. And I could see why that was probably frustrating to the developers.
Well... it continues. I have plenty here. This is like I couldn't not.
No, you need this. This is important.
Warner Brothers only got more coercive after Titus rejected the idea, going against any decision of the French developer. Often their reasoning for rejection was that Superman would never do the things Titus proposed. Elements that survived, such as Superman swimming underwater, were kept in after Titus staff members showed documentation in the original Superman comics.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, when you go back with these comic book characters who have been around for like 100 years, you can literally find examples of them doing anything.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's comic books.
I mean, point, the case in point is Superman shooting miniature Supermans out of his hand. Like, right? Like, is there really anything that Superman doesn't do? You can't say, like, oh, Superman. I think one of the things that they talked about was they wanted to have a lot of, like, destructible areas in the maps. They wanted to, like, blow up buildings and roads and cars and all this stuff. And they're like, nah, Superman wouldn't do that. And they're like, literally, that's Superman's thing. The one thing he's good at is breaking stuff. Like, watch a Superman movie. He just destroys whole towns.
We got a little bit more here, Jordan.
Yeah, bring it on.
All right. Some changes were mandated under reasons of putting the fictional DC Comics hero in a positive light.
Yeah.
In addition to the limiting of Superman's powers and removal of breakable architecture, the game was set in a virtual world in order for the titular hero to not harm real people. Although the ring stages were originally supposed to be tutorial stages, they became part of the regular gameplay due to the other changes. These conflicts resulted in a delayed production phase, a delayed production process where it took Titus months to get every single character approved, and an inability to fix bugs and issues associated with the collision detection and controls that the final product would be criticized for. Near the end of the development, technical support was provided for Titus by Nintendo of America.
Yeah. So basically, everything they wanted to do, they weren't able to do because they were so trapped by Warner Brothers and DC by approved. They had to get every little thing approved.
Yeah.
And by the time they got everything approved, there wasn't any time left to actually make a game.
Yeah.
So they took the tutorial and turned it into the entire game.
Yeah.
Which is brutal. Brutal.
It's funny, like, yes, this game has a notorious, you know, notorious, rep?
Like, it's got a bad reputation.
Reputation. Thank you. The word reputation just eluded me.
You
I
had
don't
the first
know
syllable.
Why. I was like, what?
You know what? I'm proud of you for getting that first syllable.
But it's like, it's funny how much it really wasn't the developer's fault, which is like, a lot of times people want to throw stones at developers, but when you actually read the story of this game, you're like, oh, like these guys just had like every roadblock where they couldn't make a good game. They ran out of time. They couldn't polish the game.
This is a pretty good example of why it's important to just cut toxic people out of your life. Like very shortly after they got the license, surely before they started working on the game in earnest, they realized that they were up against a pretty, you know, they were going against a group who really did not want them to be making the game.
Yeah.
And they probably should have just cut their losses and moved on to, you know, Virtual Chess 2 or something else. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
they stuck with it, which is admirable, but they ended up making a game that would just haunt them for the rest of their lives, I'm sure.
You get the opportunity of a lifetime. You
is
get this
though?
License, and then the guys who take over are like, we don't like you. It's almost like, well, screw you then. Like, we're going to do this. And then it's like, it probably just turned into a horrible, toxic relationship, like you're saying. But it probably was a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I didn't read the actual interview. I think that the guy you're talking about, I think he did it into like 2015 or something.
Yeah.
I think
he said, you know, he seems to be pretty positive about the whole thing.
Yeah.
He said he's made over 100 games. It's not, you know, it's not indicative of his career in game development, but it is one of his best selling games of all time. Sold 500,000 copies.
Yeah. It's just like, as somebody with a little bit of game development experience, it's like, this is what most games are like most of the time. Until like the last like little bit when you start to polish the game and figure this kind of stuff out. It's like, yeah, well, if you've ever made a game, you kind of know like how janky and broken
they started game making development it. Is. They didn't do any testing. They didn't do any polish.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm playing it and I'm like, man, this is something. But hearing that they didn't have time to finish the game, it's like, oh yeah, well, this feels...
checks out.
Checks out. So, Jordan, that's all my fun facts.
Dan, I got one more. I got our fun fact of the show. Fun fact of the show is, do you guys know we got a Discord server?
What?
Yeah, we've got a Discord server.
When did you start? What?
Yeah, well, it's been, about a year now. It's a great place. You can come hang out with other people who love retro video games, talk about what you're playing now, games, modern games that you're playing that have a retro vibe to them, whatever you want to talk about. So come on, hang out with us in our Discord server. You can find a link in the show notes. It's a great place to be.
Yep, yep. like, I don't know what to say. Discord. I'm on there a lot.
Yeah, it's a good place. Come hang out. Our community there keeps growing. Always some interesting new characters coming on. So
pictures of donuts.
Donuts? Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. Usually mayo, donuts, all sorts of things.
All right, Jordan, let's move on to what the game does well. Let's move on to what the game doesn't do so well.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. And I think that is the tempting thing
myself.
To do. It's tempting, right? But come on, there's got
to... This is probably literally the closest to true it's ever been.
It is. And it was definitely a stretch to pick some things out that the game did well. I usually try to stick to three things that does well, three things that doesn't do well. So I wasn't able to really do that this time.
Couldn't get to three.
Like, a team of talented, hardworking people put in multiple years of effort to make this game. There has to be something worth commenting on that it does well, right?
Two programmers, I believe, and 7 to 9 artists, think is what the Wikipedia
still a team
said
of talented and capable people.
A bunch of artists and two programmers,
I think. Despite the roadblocks that were put in their way, they still, had passion for the game. I'm sure it was their art. It was their thing. It was their baby for a little while. So we had to find some things that we think it did well.
Okay, so I now I'm like, well, what did I read? I think it was they had two programmers on the N64, two programmers on the Game Boy Color, and two programmers on the PlayStation version that was being made. But I think the PlayStation version got handed off to somebody else. I could be wrong.
It did, yeah.
Before it was canceled.
It got handed off to another studio, and it was 90% of the way done before it got canceled.
Oops. All right, sorry to derail. What does this game do well, Jordan?
Okay, so I think that... You're gonna argue with me on this, but
okay.
I think that you have to say the best thing that the game does is the box art. Because listen to me, it's literally just a picture of Superman like ripping open his shirt and there being the Superman costume underneath it. No text, no nothing. But that box art, it's strong. It's got some solid line work. It's got some bold colors. It's not just like they could have just grabbed one of the countless comic book panels, but no, they made some artwork that fits the box pretty well, and it did enough to trick 500,000 people into buying a copy.
Here's the thing, Jordan. It's funny you should say that.
Yeah,
because one of the things that I have that the game does well is Bruce Timm's classic DC cartoon art style. The same guy who designed the art style for Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah,
this game based on his art style.
Yeah, I think that is honestly something that the game does well. It looks, it's a cool looking box.
The box is, but I'm talking about like the character models, like they tried to base all of the stuff in the game on the show.
Yeah.
I think so. If I had to find something that this game does well, Jordan, that art style that I love from Batman the Animated Series.
The character art style, not Superman himself, he looks a little bit funky, but
not the models, just the things that they're based on. The
NPCs. The NPCs kind of look like the cartoon.
Kind of. As much as the N64 can do that.
Now, we're not
3D.
Saying the art in the game is good because the graphics are... We'll get there. So, the box art.
The box art. I got something, Jordan.
Yeah.
This game got cheats.
See? I knew it.
Okay,
I put on my... my third thing that I put on my list of what the game does well is actually a counterpoint to something that I knew Dan was going to say. And I told him I have a counterpoint, something I know you're going to say. He's like, you don't know what I'm going to say. Here it is, Dan.
How can you not say the cheats? Okay.
Talk about it. Let's hear it.
You got level select, level skip. You got, so in this game, you have to pick up power-ups to get, frost breath and super speed. And you run out of health a little easier than you might like. So
you
got
think
a
the
nice,
Man of Steel
nice code to,
wouldn't be the Man of Paper.
No, you would think, but everything is made out of kryptonite in this game, apparently. So Superman just takes a lot of damage.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to take damage from VR electric rings, but, you know, that's a different conversation, I suppose. So the cheats are not only like super easy, because like at the main menu, I think it's like C up, C down, C left, C right. And then he's like, this looks like a job for Superman. And then you pause the game and it's usually two buttons and you get a little nice button.
Yeah.
A little boost.
So here's the thing. Do you also have the continues being a thing this game does well?
I'm all out of things the game does.
Okay, good. So
I'm done.
This is the thing.
I'm fresh out.
Some people might be tempted to say that the continue system and the cheats are something that the game does well.
Continue system?
Like,
what continue?
The fact
continue
that you can
system
save.
Where you restart.
Like, you can save the game. That's something that's not in every retro game.
And well, we'll talk about that.
If you couldn't save in this game, then, like, it would be pretty miserable, right?
You're wrong, Jordan.
No, I know. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm not saying
this
is a
good thing. To jump the gun. One of the things that I have that the game doesn't do so well is it requires a memory card to save it. There was a memory card in the controller.
That's hilarious.
So, just so you know, you can't save the game without a memory card. So every time you put this in your system, you're going to have to restart it unless you save it.
That's very funny. So,
is it?
I would not say that those are good things. This is my thing about the cheats. Unfortunately, like, yeah, you can use the cheats to get your way further into this game to make it a little bit easier to play. But I think that all the cheats are doing is tricking you into playing the game longer than you really should, longer than you really want to. They don't make the game any more fun. They don't make the game any more enjoyable. They simply make it possible to see more of a bad game, which is why I cannot say that the cheats are a good thing.
We should have flipped the segments. We should have done what the game doesn't do so well first.
Yeah, well, I got to set
the table for what the game does well.
I do have one legitimately good thing about the game itself, not the box.
Okay.
I do have something about the actual game that I think is interesting. Now, N64 games, Nintendo games in general, like the NES and Super Nintendo and N64, not super well known for like the audio, especially like for samples. Like there's usually not great samples in Nintendo games. That was one of the things that like Sega games tended to do better.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting that there are a handful of audio samples from the TV show, like straight out of the Superman TV show. And like you get full sentences and you get like different lines from different characters. And I thought like, hey, that's actually interesting that they put those in there, because they don't sound super compressed. They don't sound fuzzy. Like they actually sounded pretty good, and it was straight out of the... Now, they didn't get the characters who played, like the actors who played those characters on the show, they didn't get them to come and record any extra lines. They just ripped a bunch of lines out of the existing TV show. But the fact that they're in there and that they sound pretty good is remarkable for a Nintendo game.
Now, did you notice this on your own, or was this when you were like poking around trying to recover?
Like, you got to the menu screen and there was a voice line, and I was like, whoa, that's interesting.
Okay.
And then there was a couple more like in the actual game, and I just kept being surprised that there was more of them.
I did read later
where they came from. I had to look up where they came from. They weren't recorded for the game.
Jordan was on like TVTropes.org or something.
Yeah, TVTropes.org.
Like reading me interesting like facts about.
So a lot of times I'll go to TVTropes.org to get our trivia for the episodes.
Yeah.
And usually there's a small handful. It's like 3 to 5 things. I have never in my life seen a TVTropes.org page for a video game with this many things. You could just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Like the weird facts about this game are basically bottomless. It's like when you go to a good Mexican restaurant, not like one that makes actually good Mexican food, but like really one that has bottomless chips and salsa. That's really my only requirement for a good if you have to pay for each bag of chips or each basket of chips and salsa, you're at a bad Mexican
like
restaurant.
Qdoba. Carry on.
That's not a restaurant. That's a fast casual
place. Qdoba's not a restaurant?
No, it's a fast casual place. Like I'm kind of like a sit down restaurant.
You know, they don't have
Chili's.
Chili's.
Some of the best chips and salsa and queso out there. Anyway, this game is like a veritable Chili's, bottomless chips and salsa
of
video game, because I could not believe how many trivia factoids there were about this game.
Yeah.
And that was just one of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. That's my
list. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Box art and
some audio samples.
That weren't overly compressed.
Great job, Titus.
Yeah, Titus.
You did it.
I like to think that Titus is just a guy, not a
Titus
collection of men and women.
French developers. Yeah, all right. Well, are you ready to move on to what the game doesn't do so well?
I think that was a fairly generous segment.
All right.
All right, Dan. I think the very first thing we have to say about what this game doesn't do well is that the gameplay isn't even remotely fun, which is sort of a requirement for a video game. Like, for me personally, I want my video games to be fun.
Why?
And this one doesn't even come close to cutting it.
I mean, Hot Mess.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit generous.
Yeah.
To describe this one.
You know, like at the beginning, at the top of the episode, one of my biggest complaints about Superman is that he is like overpowered. He is the definition of overpowered, but somehow they managed to take the most overpowered superhero of all time and make him completely inept and impotent. Like he just can't do anything. He can't fly straight. He can't fly fast. He can't even punch people. Like, you're just sitting there, like, punching the air half the time. You're not actually hitting anybody. Everything kills him. Literally everything kills him. And, you know, I just can't. Like, the rings. Dan, the rings would be okay as a tutorial. They'd be okay as a one-off. But the fact that it's, like, the main gameplay loop is flying through these rings is just not fun. The game's not fun.
You're flying from mission to mission, Jordan. And the kryptonite rings.
The fact that this game, the fact that it came out so late in the N64, like, this isn't like a launch title.
Yeah, it was 3 years in.
3 years in. It came out after Rogue Squadron, which means that, like, the flying is, it's just ridiculous. Like, just go and look at what Rogue Squadron did and just steal that for how the flying works.
They didn't have time to do anything, though. They didn't, they couldn't polish the game.
And
they couldn't even properly like play test the game. Like, let's throw this health pickup on this counter in this room that you can't like.
I get it.
It's like on a desk and you can't fly in the room and you can't like jump. Like, it's just like, what?
Just keep punching the air until you happen to connect.
If a single person would have play tested this.
Yeah.
It would have been, unless the super awkward puzzle let you get that health. I don't know.
Like, I feel bad. I do feel bad for the developers because they were like hamstrung in the whole process. And like, I understand this isn't the game they wanted to make. But at some level, like, you have to hold them responsible for releasing it.
Well, that's just the craziest thing about it is like, what was anybody thinking? Like, what was DC thinking? And like,
well, they were actively trying to sabotage it. Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Like, why would you release this? At the end of the day, if the license holders have the final say, which you would think that they do, unless contractually it's like, nope, we have the licenses to do these characters, now we're gonna release it. But you would think that there would have been someone that could have prevented this from being released.
Yeah, so we say that, but it's not like this isn't a problem that still exists. Like, you'd think that someone at Marvel would be like, no, Sony, please don't release Morbius, but there they go, and they're doing it, and it got an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. And, like, you'd think that somebody somewhere along the line would be like, maybe we shouldn't let Jared Leto be in another superhero movie. Like, maybe we shouldn't release a vampire movie in 2022 when vampires haven't been cool for 15 years. Like, it's not a unique or like a problem that has gone away. It's just, for some reason, people get a hold of a license and they, even if they butt heads with the, you know, the people who own the license, you think there would be somebody who could step up and be like, hey, this isn't working out. But when there's that much money involved, then it made a ton of money.
Yeah.
Like, they sold a lot, 500,000 copies. That's a lot for a Nintendo 64 game.
I don't know. It's like the preview coverage of it was like pretty good. Like, they got people excited for it.
Yeah. But
this is in the days really before video on the internet was a thing. You couldn't really see it in action. I think what the Wikipedia page was saying was like the coverage in magazines looked like really interesting or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's people complain a lot about modern games and the state that they release in and like all of the day one patches and stuff. But they forget about stuff like Superman, the new Superman Adventures for the N64. And
the thing about day one patches is like the developers will send off their game to get, you know, approved, go gold or whatever. And then they keep working on the game to fix bugs.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's what's up with day one patches.
They could have had
a lot of the times
one person playtest it in that time.
Yeah, they could have, but you know.
Let's at least make like one or two playable
levels. There's only two programmers working on the game and a bunch of artists.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't afford to put playtesters.
Maybe not. All right. The game's not fun. What else you got?
No, I got, so a lot of my points are just more, that sort of encompasses my
points.
That's
fine.
They're more specific versions of that. So the controls.
Yeah. Oh,
are
yeah.
Are just, I mean, they're just a dumpster fire.
Yep. That's one way to put
it. You never can really do what you are telling the character to do.
Yeah.
Which piggybacks onto the camera.
Yeah.
It's super awkward in this game a lot of the times when you're...
Which often combines with the bad controls to make you just...
that's what I'm saying.
The camera will start rotating and you're like, okay, I feel like I should pull backwards on the joystick, but then all of a sudden you're just not... Oh, you trapped yourself in a corner. You can't get out. Yeah,
and it's one of those N64 games. It's a single stick control. So like right and left are sort of rotating the camera and up moves forward. It's kind of like tank controls, but not, but it has tank controls, but it doesn't seem like it does until you realize that it does.
Yeah. Also flight is inverted, which is like, sometimes you're like, this makes sense, but then the camera flips and you get weird and you're like, it gets all wonky all of a sudden.
See, tank controls are okay if the camera's angle, the camera angle is like completely fixed, like Resident Evil. But when the camera's like rotating, it just you're like, wait a minute, my character's this is a shot from the side of my character, so I should be walking left because he's coming out of a door and the camera angle is saying go left, but you have to hold up to go left. Oh, and we're going to shoot you with enemies as soon as you walk into the room before the camera kind of does what
it's bad. A lot of times when you have a bad when you have a bad camera angle, especially on N64 games, like I want to be able to use the D-pad for like simple directional stuff.
Yeah.
Like especially with like the flying. It's like I feel like I could fine tune my flying with the D-pad, but no. Yeah. Like I can't believe how many N64 games just completely don't even bother with the D-pad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know if it's because it's like, it's 3D now, so we're going to do the joystick thing. Like, forget the D-pad. Because also the Z button on the N64 controller is in an awkward spot. And in a lot of games, you need that Z button. So if you got the D-pad, you have to like hit the Z button with your ring finger.
And no, it's like, yeah. But the D button, or the, sorry, the Z button, why can't, what, the trigger, what do you call it? Z button? It's not like the most integral part of this game. Especially when flying, like
just in multiplayer.
Multiplayer. So the controls are bad. Every time I thought I was getting the hang of the controls, I would start to be like, I got the hang of it. Yes. And then all of a sudden, no, I don't. I would wind up getting trapped in a corner or just like completely turned around. Yeah, it was bad.
So as I was telling you, Jordan, the other day, it was very windy.
In
the middle of the night.
We had like 50 mile per hour winds.
Yeah.
Which maybe it was Superman
watch, it was like
24
mile an hour winds.
Oh, wow. We had gusts up at 50.
Yes. So I woke up at about 4 in the morning to a piece of siding on my house, like aluminum siding, like slapping this.
Hey, that's a joys of homeownership.
Like very loud right outside my window. So I was awake.
That's how you know. Dan, it's just your house reminding you.
Yes.
You're a homeowner.
I know. So you can't really go fix your siding at 4 a.m, especially when you have to go to work in a little bit.
Okay, well, not with that attitude.
No, not with that attitude at all. So I was like, let me get up and be productive. Let me do a little worth it or worthless work here. So I was like, let me get a jump on Superman 64.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played about 40 minutes of this game between, you know, 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. before I went to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my next point is the first level, because I haven't updated my notes since I played more of the game. So initially I just thought it was the first level that was a miserable experience for the, you know.
You didn't know it was the whole game.
Well, that's just the funny thing about it is like this game is structured where it's like, Superman, fly through these, solve my maze, Superman.
Yeah.
Go in a building, on a mission, then fly to the next one.
I really like this picture of you in my head, of you waking up 4:30 in the morning, deciding, like, I can't sleep because my house is deciding to play the drums.
Yes.
And you go downstairs, go to your happy place.
Right.
And you choose to play Superman 64. Yeah. Which is such a good time that you can't just wait to leave and go to work.
Yeah. So I get to the second mission on Superman 64, and I've got like partway through the mission where you have to fight a boss, and I was just so devastated that I couldn't retry the mission again after failing it twice. Because when you fail in this game, it makes you restart certain missions.
So the good news is, so he's talking about, you have these missions, you're flying through the rings, and then once you fly through the rings, it'll give you a little task to complete, like save these people from getting run over by cars.
Exactly. Well,
or
that's
save these people from getting hit by tornadoes. And you know, if you fail that, you have to go and do the rings again. Thankfully, the game does, if you've beaten the ring section three times, then you can just go and just solve whatever little situation they put you in. But the first three times you have to redo it is not fun.
No. And then, so I finally was like immediately frustrated by the ring. This is where I was going with I have the first level written down. So I get through the ring section and then it's like, stop the two cars. So I'm like landing and then I'm like running as awkward Superman, like chasing a car that's like going a little too fast. And I pick it up and throw it. And then I fly over to the next one I failed it the first time. I had to redo the rings. That was a wonderful time to just do the rings over and over and over again. Then I realized you can actually fly and pick up the cars. And then you're like, great, I did the thing. I'm tutorialed, right? Fly through these rings. I'm like, right. Okay. Well, surely now that I have to save the cop car and take it to the end of the road from all these dark guys that are, what are they called?
They're dark shadows.
Dark shadows.
And they're shooting RPGs at a
police car in virtual reality. So you have to pick up the police car and take it to the end of the road, which has an archway that says police station or something. Surely I'm done, right? Fly through more rings.
Yeah.
My maze.
More rings.
Save these virtual reality citizens from these tornadoes that are slowly but surely making their way to these people.
So here's one of the big
cross breath. Like,
yeah, here's one of the big downsides of Warner Brothers insisting that this game take place in virtual reality. Like, there's literally no stakes at all. Like, you're Superman. You're like, I got to save these people from getting run over by a car. I got to save this cop car from getting shot by RPGs. I got to save these citizens from getting hit by tornadoes. It's like, no, you literally don't. You're in virtual reality. Just, like, go and save your friends. Because the town's fake. The people are all fake. Like, you have no incentive. It's like Lex Luthor wins. It's like, did he? Like, what did he win?
Well, your friends are in virtual reality.
I know, so just go get your friends and get out.
He put them in the portal.
So we didn't get the full backstory. Apparently there's a comic book that came with this and explains it more. Maybe it's kind of like Reboot. Remember that TV show Reboot?
I do.
Where the block would fall and everybody who was within that block got sucked into VR. And like, you can die in VR in Reboot. Like, if you die,
it's
you're
like
just
real
out.
Life.
And like so you have to win. Like, there's stakes involved. It's virtual reality, but there's like real life stakes.
It's the Matrix.
You don't get that in this game. It's just like, you're in virtual reality. Why does it matter if you do all of this stuff? Why does it matter if the bombs go off? Why does it matter? Like, just go and get your friends and get out. You're Superman.
But you're not.
Why are you playing a video game? Why am I playing a video game about Superman playing a video game? It's too meta.
Another one of the points that I've written down, Jordan, is you have to pick up Superman's powers.
Yeah, he doesn't have them for some reason, which makes sense, I guess, if he's in a video game. But why is Lex Luthor giving you the power-ups? Why is he giving you the things you need to beat him? And then at the very end, apparently, we didn't get there because you can't. There's too many game-breaking bugs and my time is too valuable. Like, you get to the very end and it's like, you won. But Lex Luthor is still in the real world. Like, what was the point of this? Is he just is he just bored? He wanted some friends to play video games with? Like, this all could be solved if Superman would just hang out with Lex for a little while? Sit down and play some Mario Kart 64?
another thing, Jordan, have the animations.
They're bad, yeah.
It's just with Superman, when you turn, when he's flying, he kind of like does the Superman pose, but his arms go out wide.
Yes, he's flying like Superman, and then all of a sudden he starts yawning. Or swimming, kind of, maybe through the air. He does some swimming.
Scott Stapping.
Oh, does Scott Stapp? Like,
with your arms wide open.
Oh, you know, put your arms straight out in front of you like Superman. Creed. And then all of a sudden you go real wide, just doing a little stretching while he flies.
Yeah. Over and over again.
That's not even the animation I thought you were going to talk about. Like one of the things.
Oh, you're talking about when he's running?
Well, that's bad. He runs very strangely. He runs like he has pooped his Superman Speedo. No, the worst part about the game is the fog, the draw distance.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
the thing the game
sure.
is notorious for is that they made like a 1 mile square open world, which, you know, pretty impressive.
Not
I
an
guess.
Open world, no.
Well, I mean,
definitely not.
Kind of. That was the goal. And
it's as open as the multiplayer city in Star Fox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's open world. But like, they didn't know how to optimize the game at all. Like, remember, this came out after Rogue Squadron, which has some fog, but not like this. You get about 15 feet in front of you, and then it's just a wall of fog.
Now, let's be honest. It's like 60 feet.
No.
If we're set in the real world.
Maybe 40. Tops. I think I said 15 yards when I was estimating it. So like 45 feet-ish. And yeah, you can't see anything. You get inside and the fog just becomes a dark shadow. Like it's like Superman, who is renowned for his vision, apparently is nearsighted all of a sudden. Not that he just things get blurry, but like it just goes black. So it's rough.
Can't
it's
even
really
see across
rough.
The room.
No, you can't see across
and
the room.
And it's not like it's a dark corner, because like the whole room is lit. It's just like, yep. You can't see that wall that's like kind of close to where your character is.
Yeah.
Until you walk towards it.
Sometimes you'll have, like, you had a point where you were playing inside and the Dark Shadow guys were shooting at you, but they hadn't actually like loaded. The graphics hadn't loaded. Bullets were just coming out of the fog.
Jordan, another thing, the interactions, like you got to like interact with computers and
people
and
doors
and try to throw enemies far enough away from you so that they don't blow up into you, or boxes, cardboard boxes that
everything
also
explode. If you pick up a baby stroller and throw it, it explodes. Yep.
So at some point you got to drain this dam with these hostages that the boss tells you that just like what again that wasn't I talking about. There's the Super Mario Brothers movie commentary that we have for Patreon. It's like, why do villains always show their hand?
Yeah. No, she tells you exactly what she did and how to stop her.
Basically, yeah. You can't punch the door down because they'll drown. By the way, they're underwater. Like, yeah. All right. Like, you should have just kept your mouth shut.
Yeah.
How about that? And then...
On the one hand, I do appreciate it, though, because... You don't get any sort of tutorial in this game. There's never a thing that pops up on screen and tells you what buttons to use. You do get like a little arrow in the ring levels that like point you in the general direction of your next ring. But besides that, there is no on-screen tutorial. There are no button hints. There's nothing.
Well, you can in the menu, the pause menu, they tell you what the buttons do.
You can go into a menu, scroll past three pages of story, and then get to three convoluted pages of buttons. Like, that's not helpful. Like, it's not like a game that just is like, press Y to do what you want to do. It's like, it doesn't give you anything like that.
Y doesn't, there's no Y
well,
button.
I know.
On the
I'm just.
N64 controller, Jordan. It's just A, B, Z, and C.
And R.
R and L.
And a D pad and a start
D,
button.
So you're just all around.
Yeah.
But in that level, you have to like interact with a pipe to like lower the water to get to the hostages. And you were like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You're like you're running around the right area, pushing the right button,
nothing,
and it's just
happening.
Not working.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, it's not the interactions per se, but like when you're trying to fight an enemy and you're like, I'm hitting you.
I'm Superman. 10%
of the time.
Yeah, Superman. Literally, one punch should kill a bad guy, but I can't land.
It does
a punch.
Some of them.
Yeah, but like you're not landing a punch. You're sitting there just punching past them half the time.
Or I was holding the A button to punch, and then I pushed the B button at the same time, and all of a sudden Superman started doing this awkward like waddle thing.
He was like guard. He was like putting up his guard. You're like, you're Superman. Literally nothing can kill you.
Except everything in this game.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Jordan, last thing I have is the music.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't...
It's just like, it's just bad MIDI music.
It's pretty bad, but I mean, it is one of the better things that the game does. It's bad.
Oh, no, it's bad.
But
it's
like
so repetitive and annoying.
Yeah, so what they did is
bad.
They wrote 4 bars for each level. And then it feels almost like they took those 4 bars and put them into just like a random pattern generator that just threw them together in random orders. And you end up hearing the same little ditty over and over and over again. It's bad, but I don't think that it's even in like the top 10 of what this game is bad.
It's in my top 10.
Yeah. There you go.
Other than that, that's all I have.
That's it. Other than that, it's a perfect game.
Well, besides the fact that I already mentioned you can't save without a memory card.
Yeah, it's not fun. The controls are bad. The story is non-existent. There's no tutorial. But besides that, it's a great game, you guys. It's got good box art. There's some audio samples that aren't too compressed.
This is literally has to be the objectively worst game that we've played on the podcast.
That we've played, yeah, for sure. Like I'm sure that this is not the worst game. Like the fact that you can actually play multiple levels. It's not the worst game ever made.
But it's probably...
It's up there.
It's certainly in the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, if we're going to talk about like the post-Atari era potentially,
yeah,
this has to be in the top 10. I can't speak for the Atari era.
No, I don't.
I'm sure there's a ton of shovelware.
There's got to be so many games that...
Yeah, I guess
that,
the
like,
Wii. Yeah.
This one just has like such a high profile because it sold so many copies, because it like a lot of people saw it that it was bad. Like there's lots of games that were bad and people didn't know about it because they were bad and nobody bought it. Or a few people bought it.
This is a special kind of bad, though.
It's bad. Oh, yeah. It's not finished. Like, it's bad because it wasn't finished because Warner Brothers got in the way and made it bad.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, like, Titus should have just made the SimCity game.
Mayor of
it
Metropolis.
Probably would have been better. If they were both on the same page and they're like, yeah, let's make this game and we have a shared vision, like, it probably would have been better.
So the mayor of Metropolis is kind of like the dystopian storylines that sometimes you see in like Injustice, like Gods Among Us, where Superman gets mad and
just takes over. Like, I'm going to run everything.
Well, Joker like poisons his mind and then he accidentally kills Lois Lane. So then he turns crazy and evil.
Oh.
And so it's like he becomes the mayor of the world.
See, I don't think that would have been the plot they went with since
but
they
But I'm saying
they
that's kind of where they went from there.
Yeah.
He becomes the mayor of Metropolis. This is what happens when Superman takes over, which is actually, you know, storylines that DC kind of does.
Yeah.
And then Batman has to stop him usually, and he usually does. Batman.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. All right, there we go. There it is.
There
Superman
it is.
64.
There it is. I'm glad that's done.
Well, we still got a little bit more to talk about.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the rest of our show.
Dan, what would you pay for the experience you just had with Superman, the new Superman Adventures?
Well, Jordan, I'm glad to report that this game is a gift, so I didn't pay anything for this experience
other than a little bit
too much of my time.
Yeah.
Because you know me, I'm always trying to give these games a fair shake.
You did.
I wanted to give this one an honest effort.
I will say, you were more checked out on this than usual. I have never seen you. I was playing the game and you were like replacing some light bulbs in your basement.
Because I had already played the part
surprising.
That you were playing.
I know, but I've never in my life seen you check out on a game. So like that just goes to show you. Dan is so passionate about retro games that he's even like, he wants to find something good about these games. And even on this one, it was hard.
Well, I was like, all right, he's going to be doing this tutorial for way too long.
Yeah.
So I need to replace the bulbs that I just bought.
Dude, I understand. I think do it. Like,
whatever,
I'm
man.
I am all for that.
I was like, what he's doing took me 40 to 45 minutes. So
no,
I
did
got
it in about
time.
20 because I, you know, I'm a pro gamer.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I think if there was ever a game to fit into the month of Hate-prol, it has to be this one because even Dan struggled to find some redeeming factor with it.
It's really, you know, I posted a funny picture on Discord of you, your face at just a perfect moment.
Yeah.
Playing this one.
Of my just being completely confounded by what was happening.
And somebody, shout out to Shanks, was like, it can't be that bad. It's like,
it's bad.
Actually, it can be. Yeah. Usually it can't be that bad is like, yeah, well, I mean, it's bad, but you can at least say something nice, but it's like the box art.
Yeah,
You it's can bad. Skip levels if you want. Like so, it's just there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no reason to play this game. There's not even like.
So are you saying $0 that you'd pay for the experience you just had? Okay. I mean, you have to quantify like the fact that it's a notorious part of gaming history and you get to experience that.
And that's kind of exactly where my head is at, is like, I am cautiously, I don't know how to phrase it. I'm glad from a historical perspective that this is in my collection just purely for the notoriety that this game has.
Notoriety? I would say like infamy.
Yes, infamy is probably a better word. If whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this is in the collection for the sake of having that there when I might need it at some point. Maybe grab a clip of footage or...
Like, I need something to punish my son with. You're not getting out of your room until you beat the first three levels of Superman. That might actually qualify as torture, and you might get Child Protective Services called on you.
What would I... Oh, gosh.
Just give me your gut. You got a number right
now. All right. To put this in my collection purely for historical context, it's like... $4.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I see. For me, I want like negative. I want somebody to pay me. I wish that I would have asked Blockbuster for a refund. Like that's my experience. Like you probably could have. Like you go to a movie and you walk out partway through, they'll give you a refund. Like I should have taken it back to Blockbuster. I could have rode my bike up there and I should have been like, hey, this game doesn't work. Give me a refund. Let me swap it out for something else.
So if it's you, this is on your
it's not
the remastered version of Superman 64 that doesn't exist.
I honestly
on your eShop wish list. How many gold points are you spending
I wish
on it?
That like I would need somebody to give me money to play this again.
Yeah.
I've done it twice now in my life. Never again.
You heard it here first, folks. If you want that Twitch stream of Jordan beating Superman 64 100% speedrun.
Like if I'm playing this again, it's going to have to be Extra Life and someone's going to have to give us money to do it. Like someone is donating money to a children's hospital. That's the only scenario I see myself
Don't
playing this.
Don't even plant that seed.
I'm just saying like for the kids.
For the kid. Yeah, okay. We'll do what we can. We'll do what we need to do for the kids.
Yeah. All right.
So. I'll be there cheering you on.
With that in mind, Dan, what do you think this game is going for?
So it was a gift. So I didn't buy this game. I feel for some reason. Okay. This game is horrible.
Yep.
I mean, horrible, which means that it shouldn't be worth anything. However, this game is famously bad.
Yeah, it's notorious.
Which... with that fame comes increased value slightly
to an extent,
but it did sell a lot of copies,
half a million.
So that shovels the value back down a bit because it's not rare.
Yeah.
I want to say like $12.
Yeah.
Because I feel like for some reason that's about where it is.
Not a bad guess. It's $14. Yeah. North American version is going for $14 loose. What do you think about complete? with that box art.
Complete with that box art and that manual. Would that include the comic
book? That's a good question. I would say probably not, because complete is usually just box and manual. Yeah.
Again, due to the notorious nature of this game, but the not rare version, or the not rare, the lack of rarity.
There you go.
I would say probably like $60 for a completed box copy.
82. Yeah. Now, what do you think about our friends in the PAL region? A loose copy in the PAL region.
PAL tax. Got to be rare. $7.
No. PAL tax is in full effect on this one. More
24.
Than, no. More than double. $31.
Oof.
Yeah. So
why
now? Because their box art's not even as good. They added a Superman logo to it, and it says Superman, and it kind of clutters up that nice, clean, very clean artwork. So, kind of bugs me.
Literally, why?
I don't know. Maybe they
that's
like,
so infuri- like no.
The PAL region loves truth, justice, and the American way. I guess
30. That's
I don't know,
no.
man. Yeah. Unfortunately,
I can't wrap my head around that.
So with that in mind, $14, 31 in the PAL region, I think we're going to have to call it a very easy worthless.
Probably the easiest in the history of the podcast.
Yeah, we Anything say that above. Often, though. There's some that are
this
like
one.
Really expensive and not great. Like Snow Bros is a way easier worthless. Like 14, I would way quicker spend $14 on this than I would the 300 plus on Snow Bros. Like, yeah, you
know.
Can't say quickest like, one ever. There's some games that are just stupidly expensive.
Yeah, but at least, like, I don't know. The Snow Brothers is way more redeeming. Snow
it's,
Brothers
it's a,
has,
it's a binary
is
choice. It's a binary choice. It's worthless. We're just going to say it's worthless. You know, there you go.
But I'm just saying Snow Brothers is a better thing in my collection than Superman 64.
Agree to disagree. All right.
Whoa.
All right.
Whoa.
I think we can move on.
Whatever. Here. We got trivia, Jordan.
We got trivia. I got a trivia question for you. We did not make it to the final level, Dan, but I want to see if you can intuit something about the final level. Maybe you read about the final level.
Okay.
The final boss of the game is Brainiac, and he has no AI. They didn't actually program anything for him. He will fire a beam at you if you attack him with heat vision, but otherwise he stands still and allows you to kill him. I think they just realized
faint.
No one is going to make it to the end
that,
of the game.
What? How?
So, you know, just beating him up while he stands there isn't the only way to beat the game, though. Which one of these three options will also allow you to get past Brainiac and win the game? Is it A, wait long enough and Brainiac dies of boredom? B, fly around him in circles to create a tornado which carries him away? Or three, literally just walk past him?
Sounds like number three is the one.
Yeah. Guys, listen. They didn't program the final boss to do anything except for shoot a laser beam at you if you used your heat vision on him. Otherwise, he just stands there and lets you beat him up.
My goodness.
But you don't have to beat him up. You can just walk right past him and win the game.
Superman wins.
Superman wins.
And then a drone will fly by and knock you down, and then you'll like twitch on the ground on the Superman wins.
It is possible. That was one of the things on TVTropes.org or whatever that said that there are multiple cutscenes in the game that you can die during, and you can also like win the game and you'll just be there and something can kill you on the Superman wins screen. So
come on.
Yeah, they really went out of their way to just make a game, a flawless game, no bugs, no glitches. I don't know if we mentioned the fact that there are at least four game-breaking bugs in the game that will stop you from beating the game. So even if you do manage to make it all the way to the end, it's no guarantee that you'll actually be able to beat it because you have to do things in a very specific order or the game breaks, and it's not an intuitive order by any means. So there you go. There is Superman, the new Superman Adventures for Nintendo 64, aka Superman 64. We're going to go out on a limb and say, don't bother. Don't bother. Just don't waste your time.
That's an understatement. Like, yeah. Just do yourself a favor and just don't. I mean, even like if you have this one, just don't. Like, I mean, it's going to be a waste of 6 minutes that you're going to be able to tolerate this game. Unless you have a friend to play multiplayer with.
Yeah, multiplayer. We didn't even talk about... Guys, there's multiplayer. It only works if you have multiple controllers plugged in, and it is so bad. There's a racing mode that has 5, 10, 20-minute rounds you can choose.
Infinite.
Or infinite, and you're just... Who knows? We weren't able to figure out what's happening. There's rings that you can sometimes go through, sometimes can't go through, and they just keep spawning until the whole screen is full of them. And there's a battle mode where you have one life and you drive, and you're driving around in cars in all of these, by the way, just little like car things, and you're shooting at each other and you have one life. It's so bad. So incredibly bad. Superman 64.
Jordan, on a more positive note, we just, we're done with Super Marchio.
We are.
Although that's not really a positive note after today.
No.
Like, I wish can March we go was back? Like, can we just we have do to Super H-A-P-R-J-R Brawl?
Give me more Mario games. Yeah, we did. We wrapped it up. We had our bounty question last month. We were asking, what's better, Super Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario World? We even had a whole Super Patreon episode on that topic where Dan and I duked it out on that topic. And we asked you guys, what's your opinion? Which one is better? We got our most responses ever for a bounty. We had lots of people weighing in on this topic. Some people sending us entire like dissertations. Yeah. Like a couple of the answers are like full page things.
Wow.
It's funny. You know, we always have Siri randomly pick a winner out of the Excel spreadsheet. And yeah, this episode brought to you by Excel. I don't know if you knew that. There are they sponsor
Excel.
Sorry.
Numbers?
No. Numbers. The Numbers app, which is just the Apple version of Excel. So
yeah, you know, well, numbersapp.com. Promo code numbers.
you can use promo code Excel on our numbers app to get the numbers app for free, only for iPhone users, unfortunately.
100% discount.
Yeah, 100% discount. Comes right on your phone. And it's funny that the person who was picked as the winner this month sent in one of the shortest answers.
Yeah.
So congrats to The Buzzing. The Buzzing said that Mario World was the winner for them. Love Yoshi. Haha.
I think we need to retract the prize and pick a different winner for
those long-winded winners.
No, we need to pick somebody who's right.
Oh, because you don't like that they picked Mario World.
I'm sorry, The Buzzing. You're wrong.
Yeah. we would disagree with you, but I think it was pretty split.
We did this scientifically on our Patreon episode, Super Worth It or Worthless, All Stars Deluxe. You can... worthitorworthless.com/Patreon, patreon.com/worthitorworthless. Take you to the same place. We have a special podcast where we have other conversations. And of course, we hashed this out in Super Marchio. And we decided that things were different than some people thought.
Okay. I thought that it was pretty even, but it was overwhelmingly for Super Mario Bros. 3. There's actually only...
In our bounty entries?
On the bounty entries. There's actually only a handful of people who said Super Mario World.
But on Instagram, more people said Super Mario World.
Yeah, that's true. Our Instagram poll was...
I feel like the Instagram poll was pretty substantially in favor of Super Mario World, so...
Yeah, it's interesting. That is an interesting split. It's definitely a more... like our Instagram following is a little bit more casual, I think, when you have that many... like.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, like, there's lots of people who are into retro video games but aren't so into a retro video game that they, like, are going to
know how to answer
to
our bounty.
A podcast and submit a bounty entry. Like, if you make it to the bounty entry segment of the show, you're already in, like, the niche core, I think. You know? So
tolerating Jordan for that long.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. The Buzzing, congratulations. We'll reach out to you, figure out what platform you want your prize on, and congratulations to you.
Congratulations. Jordan, we are taking a break from the bounties to sort of retool.
Yeah.
For April, we're working on it. So we don't have a bounty this month.
Which is fair, because, you know, if we were going to give out a bounty this month, we'd have to give out something that you hate, and we don't want to do that to any of you.
That's
it's
a
April.
Great idea, Jordan. Superman 64 sounds like a great...
We're getting this out of Dan's collection. Yeah, so we're going to take this month off, and we'll be back at you with a hopefully a new retooled bounty entry thing at some point in the future.
Yes, some point. Jordan, next month, or next episode, episode 93, so far, so Patreon, again, one of the perks of Patreon is you get to vote on polls,
yep,
help direct the content that we we put up. Usually we let them, let our patrons vote on the second episode of the month. This month we were like, we need ideas for April. So not only did we get Hate-prol from our patrons, but we also put the episodes to a vote. We got the options, Jordan.
Yeah.
Batman Forever for Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Yeah.
Celebrity Deathmatch for the PS2.
Okay.
E.T., Atari 2600.
Another notoriously bad game.
Yeah, Fist of the North Star, which I didn't know was notoriously bad until I started looking at lists
Never
of the worst
heard
games.
Of that.
Yeah. I think it's an anime.
Okay.
And it just happens to be in my collection. I think you actually gave me that game.
Really?
Okay. I think you gave me like a bunch of records.
Yeah, somebody gave me a whole box full of stuff.
Yeah. Ghostbusters on the NES, Muppet Adventures, Chaos at the Carnival. I put the 2600 version of Pac-Man on there.
Oh, is that bad?
As far as I know, it's bad. Because wasn't that one of the things that like killed the system with E.T.?
I don't know.
I was like, I think that's bad.
Bad arcade ports in general?
Yeah. Silver Surfer for the NES, Top Gun for the NES, and WWF Warzone.
Yeah, so Patreon members right now are voting on those.
Well, they voted.
Oh, they voted.
It's done. Those were the options.
It's done.
Would you believe that Celebrity Deathmatch won?
Yeah, not the one I would have picked off that list, but, you know, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's just a bad, it's bad.
Okay.
It's just a bad PS2 fighting game based on the show. So I don't know what the next episode's going to look like. We're going to be talking about Celebrity Deathmatch. And if it's another instance of Superman 64 where we are just immediately done, we may cover the other top ones, which are Batman Forever and Top Gun on the NES.
Yeah.
So it might be a threefer.
A little
or it might
combo.
Just be like a one if we get enough mileage at a Celebrity Deathmatch.
We got to do some cursory research and we'll figure out what's happening. But 2 weeks from now, you will know the answer unless you're binge listening and you can just go right on to that next episode.
Yep. Celebrity Deathmatch. That is on Paramount Plus. I watched some of it and I was like,
I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I had no clue what was going on.
As an adult, though.
I didn't get any of the references, but I liked the idea of claymation celebrities killing each other.
It's a nice idea.
It's a nice idea.
That show is insane. I was watching an episode where it was the guy from, what is it? Orange County?
The OC?
No.
Laguna Beach.
The chopper.
Yep.
Orange County.
Paul.
Yes, Paul versus Exhibit from
Pimp My Ride,
and like the
Orange County Choppers.
The Orange County Choppers and the wheels on the car were saw blades, and they were cutting the guy's legs off. It was this whole thing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is a show. This
did you not watch
sure
that when you were a kid?
I did, but I haven't watched it in a long time, and I was like, huh, all right, good old celebrity deathmatch.
So there you go. We'll find out soon
there
what our next episode
you
is.
You go. Jordan.
Dan.
We got the eShop Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Of Nintendo taking our dear sweet eShop out back on the 3DS and the Wii U and ending that. May is the last time, I believe, that you can add funds with a credit card.
Okay.
And I think in August, you can no longer use like eShop codes to add currency to your wallet. So before August, you got to get on the
2022
eShops. Yep. 2022. Thank you. So we're giving a shout out to games that you should probably pick up if you can.
Or not.
Before.
Just, you know, you don't have to buy all these games.
What are you talking about, Jordan? Listen, are you really going to tell me that before the eShop closes on your Wii U that you're not going to pick up Pocky and Rocky with Becky?
There's a 0% chance that I'm going to, but why should our listeners?
Well, how much? So this little chestnut, Pocky and Rocky, I think there's two of them on Super Nintendo.
I've heard of that.
Believe they're
never seen
notoriously expensive cartridges, right?
Okay.
Pocky and Rocky with Becky.
With Becky. Is that like
with
Knuckles?
Becky.
Is she the Knuckles
yes,
of the
Pocky and
Rocky world?
And Knuckles. How much do you think that this little gem's going for?
On the eShop?
On the IRL.
Oh, what system is it for?
I believe it's Game Boy Advance.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's Game Boy Advance. I have a list of eShop Apocalypse stuff.
$94.
$94? Yes, it's Game Boy Advance. No. I'll give you another guess.
It's higher or lower?
It's on the eShop Apocalypse, Jordan. Why would I be featuring it?
$194.
If it was only $94, I wouldn't be featuring it.
$194.
It's $230 if you want a cartridge of Pocky and Rocky with Becky.
Why would you want that? That's not like a thing anybody's ever wanted.
Why? Well, apparently somebody wants it because Nintendo put it on the eShop.
Okay, so you can get it for like $8 on the eShop?
Yeah, $7, $8, something like that. So,
all right, well,
if
there you go.
Ever wondered about Pocky and Rocky with Becky, and if you're one of the 13 Wii U owners,
want to maroon a copy of some weird GBA game on your Wii U, you can lose $8.
eShop's going away. Get it while you can.
Imagine buying that instead of just like a burrito.
I'm going to buy that game.
Why? Why? No, no, you're not ever going to play it. It's just a waste of $8.
It's not.
You didn't even know.
It's got to be good.
10 seconds Jordan. Ago, you didn't know what system it was on.
I was pretty sure. I was just like 93% sure, but I just had to fact check
it's
it.
It's got to be good. Dan, how many games do you own that you haven't played?
None.
That's lies. What all right, anyway, if you're a big Pocky and Rocky fan, or maybe just a Becky fan, go and run right out before May comes. Or August.
See, well, Pocky and Rocky is more like Pokemon Red and Blue, and then stop. Becky is like Pokemon Yellow.
I think that
Becky is Pikachu of the yeah. Pocky and Rocky franchise.
I can't. Sometimes I regret being part of the retro gaming community. I'm here under duress.
No.
And that
chance.
Becomes more and more clear the longer this podcast goes on. We're coming up on 4 years and
it's duress after this month.
I feel like I need to put out an SOS. Could somebody in like the tabletop gaming community come save me, or like a knitting club? Really? I'm a free agent.
Really?
Yeah.
This is news
really,
to me.
Any hobby that has a reasonable financial sense, give me a call.
Now, this is probably a good time to announce that on our anniversary this year, this is going to become a knitting club podcast. We're changing niches.
The knitting niche.
We're going to start collecting yarn.
Yeah. Honestly, at least you can do something with yarn.
Wow. You can't play video games?
You can, but do you?
What?
I'm just like, you just said you were going to buy Pocky and Rocky and Becky, and I can't believe you would ever actually play it. All right, we got to wrap this up.
I know what I'm playing tomorrow.
All right.
All right, do we have anything else before we close up shop on this this hate prol episode, Jordan?
I think that's going to do it.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We will see you guys in 2 weeks.
See ya.
Bye. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, we'd greatly appreciate it if you left us a rating or review wherever you're listening, and if you shared the show with other retro gaming fans in your life. If you're looking for more retro gaming content, check out worthitorworthless.com, where you can find things like reviews, guides, game recommendations, and of course, all of our relevant links. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks.